Welcome to 30 Minutes Towards Victory. Hi, I'm Greg Marcus. I'm the pastor of Imperial Valley Christian Center. And this is our TV program, our TV ministry, 30 Minutes Towards Victory. We call it that because our purpose with this program is to help you to experience the victory in life that God wants you to have. God wants you to have family well-being. He wants it to go well in your family life. God wants you to have health for your body. He wants you to have a financial prosperity. He wants you to prosper. He wants it to go well with you. Imagine that. Imagine that your heavenly Father would want you to prosper financially. What a concept. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible teaches. God wants it to go well with you. He is not against you. God is not your enemy. God is on your side. He is for you. That's what this TV program is all about, 30 Minutes Towards Victory. Anyway, for the past several weeks, we've been on the subject of what is the purpose of Christianity? What is the purpose of Christianity? What is the purpose of Christianity? I said this. What I mean by that is, what is the purpose of Jesus being, you know, born of a virgin? What is the purpose of him going about and healing and doing good and working miracles? What is the purpose of him raising up, gathering disciples or students unto himself? What's the purpose of him, you know, taking those guys around and calling some of them apostles, making some of them apostles and sending him out to preach and to heal and to do good works in his name? What's the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross? What's the purpose of him being buried in? What's the purpose of him rising from the dead again after 3 days? What's the purpose of him ascending to the right hand of the Father? Those are all the facts. Those are the facts of Christianity. But what does it mean? What does it do for us? What was the purpose of it? What has he come to do? What's the result of what he's come to do? And that's what we're talking about. What is the purpose of Christianity? And I said this, I said that if you don't understand the purpose of Christianity, you won't understand what the purpose of church is. Most people think of church as just, you know, that kind of time you put in an hour and a half a week just so that God won't kill you. Hallelujah. We go to church an hour and a half a week, kids. Come on, let's go. If we go to church an hour and a half a week, God won't kill us this next week. And that's what, you know, a lot of people think of as the reason for going to church. And some people think that the reason for going to church is just to get more people to go to church. Well, the reason we go to church, Pastor Greg, is so that we can get more people to go to church. That's our whole purpose. We get more people to go to church. We don't do much there, but we do get them to go to church. And that's what some people think the purpose of church is. You know, for some people, it's just a social club. You know, for some people, it's, you know, a do-gooders club, we could call it, you know, like the Optimist Club or the Rotary Club. You know, it's the church club. You know, we do things. Hallelujah. But unless you understand what the purpose of Christianity is, you won't understand what the true purpose of church is, of the church is supposed to be. And you won't understand what the job of the pastor is supposed to be if you don't understand what the purpose of the church is. You know, most people don't understand what the job of the pastor is. They think of him as, you know, like I like to say, cheap or free amateur psychological counseling. You know, because we have at this time in our history here in the Western world, particularly in the United States, we don't have tremendous faith in the Bible, but we do have tremendous faith in psychology. Well, that's scientific, Greg. Don't you know? Psychology, psychological counseling. That's what's important. Prayer, we don't know much. We don't have too much confidence in prayer. God's word? No. Psychological counseling, Greg. That's where it's at. And so some people think that's the job of the pastor, is to be, you know, a cheap amateur psychological counseling. And so if you don't know what the job of the purpose of Christianity is, you won't understand the purpose of the church. You won't understand the purpose of the pastor, and you will not understand your purpose as a member of the body of Christ. In fact, most Christians don't ever even stop to think that they're the member of the body of Christ. There's a purpose. You have a purpose. They don't understand the purpose of the pastor. They don't understand the purpose of the church. Ultimately, all of that is because they do not understand the purpose of Christianity. And so we began to talk about it. And point number one was this, was that in order to understand the purpose of Jesus coming, we must first of all understand what the world was like before Jesus came. And I said, well, okay, Greg, what was the world like? And I said, before Jesus came, the Bible teaches us that the world was Satan's kingdom. He was the ruler of the world. In fact, one scripture even calls him, refers to the God of this world, talking about Satan. Hallelujah. Jesus said that Satan had a kingdom. Satan said that all the kingdoms of the world belonged to him, and the glory of them, that they had been delivered unto him. Hallelujah. And we saw that Jesus referred to this person in John chapter 12, John chapter 14, and John chapter 16. The night before he died, Jesus refers three times to this person, the prince of this world. He said in John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The prince, the ruler, the king of this world. Who was that? Who was about to be cast out? Whoever that was, the prince of the world, he was the ruler of the world. Not God, not Jesus. He's about to be cast out, though. So who was it? Was Caesar cast out? No, Caesar wasn't cast out. If anything, in the natural, you'd say Jesus was the one cast out. He's the one that died. Hallelujah. He rose again. Thank God. But what I want you to see, it wasn't Caesar. Was it? He still was Caesar before Jesus died. He was Caesar after Jesus died. He was Caesar after Jesus rose from the dead. He was Caesar after Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. So who was it that he's referring to? The prince of this world be cast out. Now shall the prince of this world. Well, I'm telling you, he was referring to Satan. Satan was the prince, the king, the ruler of this world. Then we saw in Acts chapter 26 where Jesus, speaking to the apostle Paul, told him this, that his job was to turn people. He was to go to the Gentiles, and he was to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So he's to go to the Gentile world and to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Jesus told the apostle Paul his assignment was. Well, if that was his assignment, then that means that the Gentile world was under the rulership of Satan. If he's to turn them from the power, the authority is really the word there, the authority of Satan unto God, then that means they're under the authority of Satan. He has authority over them. What do we call a person who has authority over somebody? We call them their ruler, their prince, their king, their sovereign. Satan was the king of this world before Jesus came. And then we saw this point number two was that in the context of Satan being the ruler of the world, being the tyrant over mankind, being the dictator over mankind, we see this. We see Jesus showing up. Let's look again at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. John the Baptist was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What did Jesus preach? He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's the point I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see that in the context of the world being Satan's kingdom and Satan being the ruler over the world, Satan being the prince of this world, Satan being the one who had authority over the Gentiles. Hallelujah. In that context, Jesus comes preaching about another kingdom. I want you to see there were two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Satan's kingdom ruled over the world, but now a new kingdom is showing up on the scene. Jesus has come preaching, telling, talking about the good news of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. Let me read that whole scripture to you. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, this is what he said when he preached. This is a summary of his sermon of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The time, he didn't say the time is going to be fulfilled. He didn't say someday, by and by, millennia from now, the time will be fulfilled. No, he said the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And when we hear at hand in English, sometimes we can translate that to mean it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. But what he means here isn't it's coming. He means it's here. It's at hand. It's here now. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. Turn from the way that you've been going and believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And let me show you some other scriptures. I want to show you just the point that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Lots of times we use the phrase in evangelical Christian circles, we'll use the phrase the gospel. The gospel. And you know what we mean by that basically is, you know, the four spiritual laws or however many spiritual laws there are. Or, you know, we mean accept Jesus died for your sins. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Receive forgiveness for your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. That's what we mean by the gospel. But the gospel that Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom of God. So when the Bible is referring to the gospel that Jesus preached, it's referring to this gospel of the kingdom of God. And you can't understand the gospel of the kingdom of God unless you first understand that Satan was the king. A new king has shown up. A new king has shown up. In effect, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, the time is fulfilled. King Jesus is on the scene. I'm taking over. Before you were oppressed by Satan. And we see that sometimes the Bible refers to sickness as satanic oppression. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, for example, it says how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing, 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 what does healing involve? Sickness, right? You heal sick people. Healing all who were oppressed under the rulership, being ruled over, being tyrannized by the devil. How Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus is coming. He says, the good news is the great king is here. The king has come on the scene. King Jesus is here. The great king has come on the scene. And I've come to deliver you from the rulership of Satan. To those who will follow after me, you will be delivered from the rulership of Satan. He will no longer be king in your life. You will be in my kingdom. That's what Jesus told the Apostle Paul. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power or the authority of Satan unto God. And we could say unto the authority of God. So we could translate that scripture accurately to say, or interpret it accurately anyway, to turn people from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan unto the kingdom of God, the rulership, the authority of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let me just show you a few more scriptures to show you that that's what Jesus preached, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news that Jesus has come to take over. I told you that it's best summed up in this line from C.S. Lewis's novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Mr. Beaver says to, I think it's Lucy, he says to her, he says, when Aslan comes in sight, all that's wrong will be made right. And if you've read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know that Aslan was the name of the lion, the king lion, and that he represents Jesus in that story. They're making a movie about The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's coming out December 2nd. You need to go see it. Take your kids to see it. Take them back again. Take them 2 or 3, 4, 5 times to see that movie. It's a great, great story. It's all about Jesus. And in that story, Aslan is Jesus. Aslan is Jesus in that story. I don't want to ruin it for you, but if you go see it, you'll see what I mean. It'll be obvious to any of you who are Christians. Hallelujah. Anyway, so Mr. Beaver says to Lucy, when Aslan comes inside, all that's wrong will be made right. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus came, the great king came, he came to make all that's wrong to be made right. Jesus came to make all that's wrong to be made right. Jesus came to make all that's wrong to be made right. One thing I want you to see in this series of lessons is this. And he didn't say it'll be made right sometime over there by and by when we all make it over. He didn't say it'll be made right when we get to heaven. He didn't come preaching the gospel of the time is at hand. It's time to go to heaven, folks. That's not what he came preaching. He came... The kingdom of God is here. He didn't come preaching, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is up there. That's not what he came preaching. Hallelujah. That's what most evangelical Christians think. Anything good, it's up in heaven. That's where the good stuff is. In this world, we just suffer through as best we can, hoping to make it to glory, Greg. There we'll get some good things in heaven. No, he said the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the rulership of the devil. For God was with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do I want you to see? That's what the message of the kingdom of God is. The message of the kingdom of God is that message from C.S. Lewis's book. When Aslan comes in sight, all that's wrong will be made right. Well, Jesus Christ has come in sight, and he has made all that's wrong to be made right. Hallelujah. We can right now enter into the kingdom of God. We don't have to wait for the millennium. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Just like the people he was talking to right there. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The time is fulfilled. It's here. Hallelujah. Repent and believe. That's what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God. You got to turn from going your way, and you got to learn to believe the gospel. You got to learn to have faith. It's faith that enters into the gospel. Let me just show you one scripture about, then I hope will illustrate that point for you, that the kingdom of God was here. He's not talking about some millennial thing, you know, over there by and by when we all make it over into the millennium, Greg, then it'll be the kingdom of God. Until then, we're in trouble. He wasn't talking about some, some place up there, you know, where God lives when we get there. That'll be the kingdom of God. No, he was saying God's rule has come here down to the earth. Before we get to that, let me show you this. I said, well, what is the kingdom of God, Greg? Well, I could teach on just what is the kingdom of God for months and months and months and months. But let me just sum it up for you in one thing that Jesus said, which I think will make it clear to you. And he says here in the what we call the Lord's Prayer, he's teaching the apostles to pray. And he says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. What did Jesus come preaching? The good news of the kingdom of God. Now he's telling them to pray, God, your kingdom come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, in other words, show up here, God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth. Now, what I want you to see is that the kingdom of God is God's will being done. When he uses that phrase, he's just kind of being poetic and poetical and repeating the same thing twice. And he's saying this. He's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the same thing. When God's kingdom comes, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. What do I want you to see? What is the kingdom of God? It's when God's will is being done on heaven. When you're walking in God's will, you're being a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you're walking in God's will, you're being a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you are walking in God's will, you are walking in the kingdom of God. You're walking around as a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you are walking in God's will, you are walking here on the earth as a citizen of the kingdom of God. When you are walking in God's will, you are walking here on the earth as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Well, listen to me. You know, there's benefits to being a citizen of the United States of America. There's benefits to being a citizen of the United States of America. Well, there's benefits to being a citizen of the kingdom of God. But when you're not walking in God's will, it's like taking yourself out of the kingdom of heaven. It's like you're taking away your citizenship from the kingdom. It's like you're saying, I'm not interested in my citizenship. And guess what? You don't get the benefits of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Look here in Matthew chapter, what is that? Matthew chapter 7. Look here, this is going to blow the socks off of some of you evangelicals, Christians. No, it's all about heaven, Greg. It's all about heaven. That's all that matters. Going to heaven when you die, that's the only important thing. Why do you waste your time talking about this stuff, Greg? You should be talking about going to heaven, getting people saved, getting people into heaven. I'm getting them into the heaven. The heaven here that Jesus was talking about. The kingdom of heaven showing up in their lives right now. That's why I do all this talking, to get the kingdom of God to show up in your life right now. Hallelujah. But listen to this, you evangelical critics. Look what Matthew chapter 7 says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wait a second. We evangelicals have been teaching for years that the way you get to heaven when you die, the way you get to go to heaven when you die is to call Jesus Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if kingdom of heaven means what most evangelicals think it means, going to heaven when you die. And it doesn't mean what I'm telling you. It means God's will being done in your life. God's will taking place in your life. That's what I'm saying the kingdom of heaven is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? In heaven? No, on earth like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Hallelujah. Not in heaven. But most of you, the kingdom of heaven, that's the place you go when you die if you're good. You know, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Well, yeah, that's true. When you die, you will go to be with your Father. If your father's Satan, you'll go die and be with him. If your father is the Father God, then when you die, you will go to be with him. Hallelujah. I'm not having any problem with that. But that's not what he's talking about here. Or else you got a big problem in your evangelical theology. Because it says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. He's not talking about going to heaven when you die. He's talking about God's will being done in your life. God's will being done in your life. Look, I'll show you another scripture about that in a second. But who? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who? Not everyone that's, what am I saying the kingdom of heaven means? I mean, it's God's will happening in your life right now. When Jesus went around healing, he'd say to his disciples, watch, look, flip over, keep your place there in Matthew chapter 7, and flip over to Luke chapter 8. I think that's where it was. No, Luke chapter 10. And this is a story, read it, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place wherein he himself should come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. But now flip down to verse 9, and this is the instructions he gives them. So he's sending out 70 of his disciples to preach, to do things. And here's part of the instructions. Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Did heaven show up all of a sudden there? God, the angels, the glory, it showed up? Is that what they meant? Hallelujah. No, no. What it means is that when the sick got healed, God's will was being done in their life. Oh, Greg, you don't understand. It's God's will for us to be sick. No, sickness is not God's will. 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 That's why he didn't put any sickness in the Garden of Eden, because they weren't his will. Sickness is against the will of God. And that's why when God's will is done on the earth as it is in heaven, people get healed. That's what Jesus said. He said, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has shown up on the scene. Or one expert in the languages of the Bible, he put it this way, Robert Lindsay, he said, God has taken charge here is what it means. Say it, heal the sick that are in and say unto them, God has taken charge here. He hadn't taken charge before, that's why they were sick. But when God takes charge, sickness goes. Hallelujah. When God takes charge, sickness goes. Now, what I want you to see is this. Can you see that the kingdom of God was healing? When the kingdom of God is there, healing is there. When the kingdom of God, I said to you that the kingdom of God means where God's will is done. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Therewith, Jesus couldn't have, he could have told them, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto him, God's will has been done on earth here. God's will has been done on earth here. Heal the sick that are there, say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh thee. God's will has been done here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wasn't talking about when he said that, when they said, tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh unto thee. He wasn't talking about nothing to do with the place where you go when you die. He was talking about God's will being done in their life right there and now. Heaven showing up here on the earth is the way you could think about it if you want. Hallelujah. Heaven showing up on the scene. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what Jesus came to do. Now let's flip back to Matthew chapter 7. I said to you this. I said, if you'll enter into the kingdom of God, as you're following after the will of God, as you're doing God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As you do the will of God, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there's certain rights that you have as a citizen of the kingdom of God, and there's certain authority and abilities that you have as citizen of the kingdom of God. But look here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about going to heaven when you die. He's talking about, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will get healed. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, will be able to go out and pray for the sick and heal them. Not everyone that says unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, will be able to pray for the sick and heal them, but who? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But he, you do the will of the Father which is in heaven, you're in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen in right standing in the kingdom of God. But what I want you to see is this. What's the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, what he's preaching is, King Jesus has shown up. I'm taking over. King Jesus has shown up and I'm taking over, and the days of Satan's oppression are finished. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I'm not finished. Come back next week. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.